Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
You see, if you're a believer in Christ, who is walking in the way, in his footsteps, you can rest assured that Jesus is right there to defend you all the way. He's there for you. Jesus takes it personal when the church is attacked, when the church is persecuted, when the church is criticized or treated wrong. Jesus takes it personal when people come against you. Now, I want you to think about this. How many of you have older siblings, brothers and sisters? They have older brothers and sisters. Now, I don't know about you. Did you ever get in trouble? No, you don't want to raise your hand now, huh? Were you ever bullied? You know, now my question is, did one of your older siblings ever come and defend you? Did any one of them come? Some of you are like, no, not really. They were the ones bullying me. Right? No. Oh, come on. You know? But at least, did one of your parents at least come out and defend you one time or two from someone who attacked you or something? Well, that's exactly what Jesus is doing. Jesus is in our place, and he's saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because you see, whatever you do to them, it's like you do it to me. Because they're mine, and I'm with them. And if you got a problem with them, you got a problem with me. Wow. Have you ever heard something like that? Somebody defending somebody? Yeah. See, after Saul's encounter with Jesus, we know that he was blinded. He couldn't do for his own, so he was taken to Damascus blind, in shock, disoriented. And he stayed there and he fasted and he prayed for about 3 days. But the story continues. Because there he encounters another man. The first encounter was Jesus. This second encounter is with another man named Ananias. And Ananias was chosen by the Lord himself, Jesus, to minister to this dazed and confused man named Saul, the blind man, for now. And I want us to read in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 22, as we go into the story. And it says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. You see that? And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is my chosen instrument. He is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, wow, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he is the Son of God. And all of those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who call on this name, and who had come here for the purposes of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's dive into this and let's think about this. First of all, I just want to say a few things. Let's talk about Ananias, and then let's talk a little bit more about Saul. But let's talk about Ananias first. You see, sometimes God may ask you to do something that doesn't make sense. Have you ever done something that doesn't make sense now, but then later on you were like, Yeah. You see, God sometimes may call upon you to do something, to say something, or to be somewhere, or to go. Something that may not make sense. Something that goes to the contrary of your thoughts and your discernment. Things may not make sense at times. But you see, here's what we need to think. Number one, our job is to obey, even when it doesn't make sense. You see, Ananias, God wasn't asking him, do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying, Ananias? You see, we're going to progress through this and see that God was gracious enough to talk to him and answer his inquiry. But the first thing we need to learn is that when God asks us for something or to do something or to give something or to go somewhere or say something, we just need to obey. Have you ever disobeyed God? I know I have. Have you found yourself thinking, man, I should have done that. I should have listened. Well, you see, Ananias was a devout Jew. He was also a believer in Christ. He knew the reputation of Saul. And he knew he was coming for the believers. He was a Christian leader and leading new converts. I mean, this is, what do you do? But Ananias was available to do God's will. This is what's important. You see, he was available. He certainly was kind of anxious to obey. Have you ever been anxious to obey God? Have you ever been thinking, well, okay, God, I guess I will. But maybe at church you've been asked to serve in some capacity and you're like, oh, no, I can't, I'll do it. But. And you start putting all the buts in there and excuses and stuff. Have you ever done that? You see, I want you to think about that. Now, the question is, if you ever done that, are you serving? Are you doing something or are you doing nothing? See, Ananias was asked to obey something that didn't make sense. He was anxious, and I'm going to show you how. See, the funny thing is that this same Saul who was preying on people now was praying for people. You get it? The one who was thinking of his prey now was praying. I mean, at least that's encouraging to Ananias. I mean, God says, hey, go talk to this guy. What? Who? Saul? Well, he's been praying. Oh, really? He's been praying. Okay. See, but the fact is that Ananias obeyed. Once he was convinced, he wasted no time, and he went to the place exactly where God had told him to go and found the person that God told him he would find. But I want to get into Ananias' mind for a second, and I hope this gets to your mind, okay? You see, what he had heard from people in Damascus about Saul, he's come to arrest you. Can you think about that? Wait a second, God, you're asking me to go meet the guy who's coming to arrest me. Really? You want me to get into that trap? What kind of God are you? What are you trying to do to me? Now, what Ananias is hearing from the people is, this is Saul, the assassin. But what he is hearing from God, you got to go set him free. What? He's coming to arrest you. He's coming to arrest me. But now I got to set him free. Now, the voice of God or the people, who do you trust? When you come to church, do you come with your ideas of church? Or do you follow God's idea? When you're walking out there as a Christian or whoever or whatever, do you go on God's ideas or your own ideas of what Christianity should be or supposed to be? You see, you got to know who you trust. Remember that even the Word of God doesn't make sense sometimes to you and me. You see, because your thoughts are not His thoughts. There's some things that are going to get in your way, in your mind and in your heart. And God says, guess what? It is not your way, it's my way or the highway. See, His ways are not my ways. That's why I can't follow my ways, because my ways take me away from his way. You understand that? Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Ananias, don't trust what you've heard people say. Don't trust your heart. Even Jesus said that the most deceitful thing in life is your own heart. But trust me, Jesus says. Trust me. Who are you trusting in life? Are you trusting your own discernment? Are you trusting, are you doing whatever you think is the right thing to do? Or are you truly listening to the voice of God? Now, what does it mean then to trust God? You see, when you're not sure who you can trust, trust God above all, even above yourselves. You get that? See, trusting God means that we're then going to obey God. Because we're so cool about saying, oh, I trust God. Oh, I believe God. But you see, whatever you believe about God does not show in what you say about how you believe, but in what you do about what you believe. You see, you got to be careful. God said, get up and go to the street called Street. You see, in life, we may not walk on a street necessarily called Straight, but are we walking straight before God? Have you checked yourself lately? Can you honestly face God? I mean, this is for me too. Let me tell you. Can you honestly stand before God today and say, I got it straight. I'm being honest with you. I'm right. I'm walking rightful before you. Not even Paul, who was inspired to write half of the New Testament, would ever stand before God and say, hey, I am rightful. So what you got? So be careful. Be careful who you claim that you are as a Christian or who you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff. Can you honestly face God today and say, I am an obedient believer? That's something for us to ponder on. I need to think about that every day. You see, God spoke from heaven, but he also spoke through other people, obedient disciples that gave their message about Christ. I want you to think about this because, you see, we see God's grace in the miracles. We see God's grace in the great thing that he has done. Even last week when he took Paul and encountered him and spoke from the heavens and put scales on his eyes and brought him over. I mean, miraculous things. But sometimes God works in the ordinary things. That is precisely the title of our sermon today. God's grace in the ordinary. An ordinary man called Ananias, God used to do something. You see, the experience of Ananias should remind us that we should never be afraid to obey God's will. We just need to obey. So let's do that, okay? So our primary job is to obey, even if it doesn't make sense. Number two, we don't get to choose who can be a Christian. God chooses whom he pleases. You see, a lot of times we put these labels on people. What, so-and-so Christian? Nah. So-and-so? Going to hell in a handbasket. And we're choosing and we're judging. Who are we? Who are you? Who is me? I don't deserve this anyway. What did I do to earn this free gift of salvation and love from God? I tell you what I did. Nothing. Betray him is what I did. What have you done? You're a betrayer too. Have you ever thought about that? Oh, that hurts. You see, notice Ananias. You see, he's trying to let God know whom he is choosing. Hey, I tell you what. He's giving God the report on Saul. He's giving God the 411 on Saul. Let me tell you who he is. Oh, you don't know this guy? Oh, I'll tell you the gossip. I'll tell you who is the talk of the town. I'm pretty sure that Ananias was trying to make sense of the situation. God, you know, this is the guy who's coming over to arrest us. He's the persecutor, the killer. He's the bad guy. Now, I think I'm on the good side. He's on the bad side. What are you trying to do? Have you ever found yourself trying to justify your ideas before God? Have you ever tried? Have you ever found yourself before God saying, yeah, God, I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but have you seen what my neighbor did to me? Have you ever found yourself in that predicament? Have you ever tried to explain something to God? Well, I tell you what. Listen, God, listen, God. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Because it's just that if only people knew what I'm going through. When in doubt, it's okay to ask God why. You see, Ananias came to God, explaining to God, this is Saul. Let me tell you who Saul is. Why do you think Ananias did that? I think Ananias was indirectly or directly or trying to get in his mind, trying to explain to God why he shouldn't choose Paul. Have you ever found yourself trying to figure out why God shouldn't fix somebody or pick somebody? Somebody who's done you wrong, somebody whom you dislike. I mean, it's okay. You see, God didn't strike Ananias with thunder and lightning and said, shut up. No, he answered him. Now, let me tell you something. Whenever you come to God with questions about his plan and about his discernment, you may get an answer. You may not. And if you don't, then praise the Lord Jesus and just trust him because he knows what he's doing. When in doubt, it's okay to ask God, but yet you may not get an answer. It's like Ananias coming to God and saying, have you heard about this guy? Now look at verse 13. He says, he has harmed your saints. I mean, these are like the New York Giants and what they did to the saints last week. You see what they're doing to your saints? He said, you see what he has harmed your saints in Jerusalem. If we were in New Orleans, he'd say, he has harmed your saints in the Superdome. He has authority from the chief priests. You just don't know this guy. And God, look at what God answered. I love this. Look at verse 15. The Lord said to him, go. First thing he said was, go. I mean, God shouldn't have explained anything else to Ananias. He should have just said, Ananias, just go. That's it. That's all God had to do. But look at what God does. Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. Two things right there. Number one, I chose him, not you. You don't choose anybody. You don't get to pick who should be a Christian or not. You don't get to pick who God uses or not. Second of all, he says he is my instrument. He's an instrument of mine. Capital M, mine, because it belongs to God. He is God's instrument. Let me tell you something. You don't belong to the pastor. You don't belong to the teacher. You don't belong to anybody. You belong to God. You're his instrument. I'm his instrument. We've been chosen by him and nobody else. I remember when I came to this church and not thinking that I would be the pastor, and when the decision was to be made to be the pastor, then I was being ordained. And one of the questions, or the last question that I heard at my ordination council, was by one of the deacons who pointed at me and said, let me ask you something, young man. Yeah, I was a young man then, okay? Let me ask you something, young man. If we decide not to ordain you, if we vote no today, what are you going to do? I'm like, oh my God, this is scary. No, it is not. You know what I said? I said, well, whether you ordain me or not, whether you want to put the title reverend or not, whether you want to give me a piece of paper or not, whether you think that I should be a pastor or not, the one who called me, his name is G-O-D, capital letters, God. And I will respond to him whether I am ordained or not. So I'm sorry. You vote yes or no, that doesn't make me or not a pastor. I'm going to preach and I'm going to do what he called me to do. And here I am 20-something years later. Oh, my God. Now, look at what Jesus said, or look at what God says to Ananias next. This doesn't apply to me. Okay, so let's don't get me out of your mind. Let's think about Saul and let's think about Ananias, okay? Because God then says, he is to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. In other words, I will make him important and famous. He will speak of me even before kings. You see, but sometimes you don't know who you're speaking to, and I'm going to show you something in a few minutes. You see, I will show. See, God is saying, you go because I said you go. I chose Saul just like I chose you. He is my instrument just like you will be. I will make him famous. I will make him preach wherever I choose. And I will show him how much he will suffer for my name's sake. Okay. Can you imagine Ananias? Wait a second. You're choosing Saul. You chose him. You make him your instrument. Now you're asking me to go lay hands on him so he can receive the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to make him famous? You're going to make him big? What about me? Can I tell you a little secret about Ananias? After the encounter with Paul, no one knows whatever happened to Ananias in life. He was never, ever mentioned, except when Paul says in chapter 26, and a man named Ananias came and ministered to me. Are you willing to be like Ananias? Be nameless? You know, there's a song out there by Casting Crowns that I've heard lately that says, I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. Who cares if anybody knows David's name? David ain't saving anybody. Who cares if anybody knows Marco's name? Who cares if anybody knows Ray's name? Or Freddie's name? Or Danny's name? Or Alma's name? It's Jesus' name. You see, Ananias was willing. Are you willing to do that? To be able to put on the, not even in the back seat, but the trunk, not even that, be left behind? And not ever be remembered? Or do you always have to be at the center of attention? But I think, I want you to think about this, because in Ananias' mind, I'm thinking, I'm trying to be Ananias because everything looks bad for me. You choose him. He's your instrument. He's going to preach. He's going to do that. But then at the end, God says, and I will show him how much he has to suffer for my name's sake. Oh, I like that, God. You're going to show him some suffering? Okay, I'm on board now. I'll go. Oh, so you're going to put him through the ringer? Oh, I'll get this started real quick. This is lit now. No. I don't know if Ananias thought like that, but this is me. You see how sinful I can be? How about you? I will go see him now. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus, after he resurrected, he comes and meets with his disciples. You know, the 11 that were left over. And he comes to them and he brings himself before Peter. You know, Peter, the one who denied him 3 times. And what did Jesus do? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Kind of covering all 3 times that he denied him, saying, you know what? All 3 times I still loved you, and I still love you today. You know, that's another sermon for another day. But I want you to get what's happening here. Because when Jesus speaks to Peter and restores him and says, you know what, Peter? You're young now, and you go and you come and go as you please, and you do this and you do that. But there's going to be a day when you won't. There's going to be a day when you'll be taken, and you'll be taken to a place where you do not want to go. You know, and what he meant was, you also will be crucified. You're going to be killed by crucifixion, Peter. And then he says, check this out. Then Jesus tells Peter, you're going to die, basically crucified, but follow me. That's the moment what I would have done number 4 on the denial, and I would have turned around. But look at what Peter does. Peter starts following Jesus, and then he looks back and he sees another young man named John, the other disciple, following behind. And what did Peter do? Come on, John, let's follow Jesus. See if you end up on a cross too. No, he didn't do that. But guess what he did? He said, hey, Jesus, hold on 1 second. Time out. What about this guy? You know, you just told me I'm being crucified and follow you. But what about this young man right here? You know what Jesus answered? Peter, what is this to you? What's it to you? You follow me. If I want him to remain alive until I come back, I do that. And if not, I do whatever I please. I chose you and I choose John. You just what? Obey and follow me. Why do you care so much about what happens to your brother? Why are you so much in everybody else's business? Mind your own business. You get it? Great. I'm so glad you do. Who are we to question God's choosing? Number three, we simply love those whom God has chosen. You see, that's your job. Your job is not to choose people. Your job is to love those who God has chosen. And God wants you to love who? Everyone. Even if they haven't been chosen, God wants you to love everyone. We simply need to love. Now, I want you to think. Look at Ananias. He obeys. He goes. And when he gets there, he comes to Paul. And what's the first thing that he said to Paul? Brother, you don't just call brother anyone, right? Well, we do in some places. Yesterday, actually, I went to lunch at a little place in Marrero, and I counted. I counted because I started going like, what? The young man that was taking care of me at the restaurant called me brother 9 times. And I'm like, is he a believer and thinks that I'm a believer or something? Maybe it's be this Jesus aura that I have, right? I don't know why he's calling me brother. So guess what I did when I left? Thank you, brother. But I don't think that's what Ananias was doing. Ananias comes to Saul, the one whom he just gave God the information on, you know, his rap sheet. Now he comes back and says, brother? I wonder if Ananias came to him and said, brother. Or he said, brother? And he laid his hands upon him. He touched him. Touched him. You see, Saul not only heard Ananias' voice, because remember, he was blinded, but he felt his hand. When was the last time that you loved on someone? When was the last time that you touched someone whom you deemed undesirable? When was the last time you touched someone that you deemed untouchable in the name of Christ? See, we cannot go on living like we love Christ and hate our neighbors. We cannot continue living like we love Jesus and are indifferent to our neighbors. You just don't know God's plan for that person. You just don't know. Now, April 21st, 1855, a man named Edward Kimball, he was leading a small Sunday school class of boys, and he presented the gospel to this little group of kids. And a young boy received Christ. You know who he was, that little boy? That Edward Kimball. You may not know Edward Kimball until now, but Edward Kimball, like Ananias, was unknown. But that day at Sunday school, April 21st, 1855, a little boy named Dwight L. Moody accepted Christ. What Edward Kimball didn't know, that as he had just witnessed and saw the conversion of one of the greatest preachers of all time, who's preached to millions of people, even at the end of the 1800s, and saw many revivals in the States and in England. He didn't know. Wow. Let me ask you one more name. Do you know who Mordecai Ham is? Have you ever heard the name Mordecai Ham? Maybe not. I never heard it before until I read some story. See, Mordecai Ham was an evangelist from Kentucky, from the countryside. And he preached in tents. And he started going all around Kentucky and then all around the United States. And in 1934, he did a revival near Los Angeles. And an insignificant young teenager came forward to accept Christ. Little did he know that that young teenager would later preach the gospel to live audiences in more than 185 countries and territories to approximately 250 million people. And his name is Billy Graham. You've heard of Billy Graham. You never heard of Mordecai Ham. You see that? You just don't know. When Ananias extended to Saul, he just didn't know that he was extending himself and touching and loving upon a man named Paul that would be the least yet the greatest. By the way, you know that Paul means little? Little one. Little. Paul became little. He became like nothing. And God used him greatly. And by the way, Ananias' name means grace of God. You see, God's grace in the ordinary, using a man named Grace, basically. See, were it not for the conversion of Saul, who would have ever heard from Ananias? See, you just love on people, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done to you or against you or for you. You don't know what God has planned for other people in Christ. You see, while Peter was ministering to thousands of people in Jerusalem, and Philip has seen great harvests in Samaria, Ananias, only one that we know, one man, basically, and he was already converted by Jesus himself. All he worked on was one man, but look at the man, Paul. Look at verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." We simply love those whom God has chosen. And guess what happened then? I want you to see God's grace in everything. I want you to see this. See, Paul could not see, but God did not leave him in the dark. See, he could not see. He was blinded. But God did not leave him in the dark. I want you to look at verses 18 and 19. "And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened." See, now he sees, like that song, "I once was blind, but now I see." You see, instead of trusting himself, Saul was now trusting the Lord and waiting on the Lord to show him what to do in prayer and fasting. Actually, if you look at a little bit earlier in verse 11, the second part of verse 11 and verse 12 says that he was praying and he has seen. This is God explaining to Ananias. You see, this man Saul has been praying and he's seen a vision of a man named Ananias. Hello, that's you. And he comes in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. You see, Paul or Saul had already seen the vision. God did not leave him in the dark. You see, when you obey God and when you follow God and you submit to God and you pray and you fast, God will speak and God will show you the way. So when you can't figure out what is it that God wants you to do, start praying and fasting like Saul did. When you don't know what to do, get in the Word, read the Word. Start praying, start fasting. God will show you. He will not leave you in the dark. See, we do not choose God. God chooses us. Now we're talking about Saul, right? Even his beloved disciples, Jesus said to them in John chapter 15, "You are no longer slaves. You are no longer my slaves." He meant servants. You see, the word servant, slave, was interchangeable, right? He meant, you guys do not just serve me. You are my friends. Jesus said, you're not just my servants. You are my friends. And then he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." See, it was all the grace of God. You do not choose God. God chooses you. They did not choose him. God chose them. You see, our task is to tell people about Jesus and lead them to Christ. But it is God's task to choose whom he calls for himself and on, close to himself and on to himself. Every person is important to God, but not all are called. Today, as you hear the word preached here, and as we come to a close in a couple of minutes, have you felt the call of God in your life? Is he pulling you and attracting you towards him? I hope he is. Today, as you hear the word preached, only by his grace, let me tell you, he is the one who chooses, not you, not the other way around. Number three, God chooses people not on their merits, but by his grace. Not only God is the one who chooses, but the basis of his choosing are not our merits. You see, God didn't choose me because I'm so good. He didn't choose you because you're so beautiful. He didn't choose you because you're so smart. God chose you because he is good, he is smart, and he is beautiful. He is all that. God chose Saul, not on his merits. You saw his resume. Only by his grace. There's nothing that you or I have done. Nothing. When you look at Saul, what did Saul do? Nothing. Except the contrary. Nothing you have done earns you the grace of God. You know Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9? Do you know that? As Christians, we ought to know these verses. For by grace you have been saved. Through what? Faith. Not by yourselves. Not on account of yourselves. Not because something you have done. It is what? The gift of God. You cannot earn gifts. Gift is grace. Not a result of your works. So that no one may boast. No one can come to the Father but through Jesus and his work. Nothing that we do. By the power of God, his eyes were opened, and now he can see. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized, and then he ate. And as he was strengthened, he started preaching the word and obeying. Just like Ananias obeyed, Saul was obeying. And the last point, only by the grace of God, the scales in your eyes can fall and our eyes are open to his love. He discovered that they were loving people. You see, Saul, can you imagine this? After he had persecuted this church so much, he gets there and now he is embraced by the same people whom he was persecuting. The people who he was seeking to arrest and kill and destroy are now the ones who received him with love, the ones who laid their hands on him in love, the ones who embraced him in love. Even though they knew the truth about him. You get that? Even though they knew who Saul was. Key word, was. You see, maybe you know some dirt on somebody. Maybe you know some stuff about somebody and you deem them unlovable. Love them no matter what. Because God loved you no matter what. So before we continue on, I just want you to know something. God can use even the most obscure of saints. I am living proof of that. Saul went preaching Christ immediately. Like a bright light. His voice now is the voice that came from heaven. Now he's resounding what he had heard. Jesus Christ. While Ananias seemed to be an ordinary man, the hand of God is now working in Ananias and now Saul through Ananias. Let me tell you something. You may be an ordinary man or an ordinary woman. We may be ordinary, but in the hands of God, we can do extraordinary things because our God is extraordinary. So let's believe him. Let's trust him. Let's obey him. Let's do something. Paul kept preaching and preaching and convincing people of the name of Christ. Let's do the same. But first, you have to be convicted.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.